So, Ted, just to get it right out of the way, can we realistically deal with the effects of climate change, do what we need to do in order to see the whole planet doesn't just burn up, and still enjoy the lifestyle that we enjoy today?
No, you can't. And this is the problem that we have immense difficulty getting people to face up to. I hope we get time for me to detail the kind of alternative that we're arguing for, which we think is delightful, but it is not an affluent consumer way. Climate change is just one of many terrible problems we're running into: resource depletion, environmental destruction, impoverishment of, say, 5 billion people in the third world. All of these problems are directly due to overproduction, overconsumption in the world, and of course, especially in rich countries. So climate is just one in that list. And the brutal fact that is not being faced up to is that these problems are due to overproduction and overconsumption. We are far beyond levels of sustainable resource use, production and consumption. And that means that you cannot solve the problems till you face up to dramatic degrowth. We now have a global degrowth movement, which is putting forward utterly convincing arguments to do with this overshoot. So we have to think in terms of not just personal implications, which you began with, which are important, but more importantly, system changes. The most obvious faulty system we have is the economy, because it's one that cannot survive, cannot function without massive affluence, high GDP, and indeed growth of GDP all the time. So that's the context in which we have to operate. And all of that can be pretty depressing in the short run. But let me say again that the alternatives that people in the simplicity movement are arguing for, we think, are very attractive.
It's funny you mention, of course, this in the context of a global movement, because from my reading, the simple way, or the simpler way, calls for very much a fragmentation of the current globalized economy, globalized sort of society we currently see, into much smaller, more cooperative communities. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, that's true. The word is really localization, and it means that if we shift to smallish communities, we can then make them highly self-sufficient and drawing on local resources, whereas at the moment, your breakfast and your coffee and so on have come halfway around the world from sources a long way away, which are energy-intensive chains. It is only if we go to smaller-scale local systems that we can cut those resource costs. For example, we've got a very impressive study of egg supply, which details the chains around the world that are involved in supplying your supermarket with eggs, and they're all highly resource and energy intensive, depending on agribusiness and fertilizer factories and so on. If you contrast that with what a small community can do, either by a backyard or cooperative poultry groups and so on, the decimation, the reductions in resource and dollar costs are of the order of at least 50 to 1. In other words, we can cut the need for fertilizer imports by thoroughly recycling nutrients within the suburb, the town, the village. We can recycle the chicken waste to the gardens and so on. A long list of things like that we can do, which the detailed analysis we've carried out shows that you can literally cut those costs way, way down. And my point is, you can't do that in big systems, which require a lot of transport and energy and so on. And so that's one illustration of our claim that there are ways that we can dramatically reduce and get to sustainable levels, but they do involve enormous change in our systems and indeed in our lifestyles and values. We just cannot have a world in which everybody lives affluently like Australians. The resources are not there for that. We have to face up to that, and almost nobody does at this stage.
Well, as we say, you've looked at this one fairly comprehensively in terms of a plan, and this does require rather massive change if it were to be enacted. Where would we see the first steps occurring? I mean, where would we start to see this kind of idea achieved?
Oh, look, there's been a global eco-village movement now 30 years old, and in the last 10 years we've had the emergence of what's called a transition towns movement, and both of them are pioneering the way most impressively. There are thousands of people involved in working, firstly, to set up settlements which are isolated, if you like, or set up by a group of committed people. The one is a Dancing Rabbit eco-village in Missouri, and they're setting out to build eventually a town of 500, which will demonstrate these sorts of ways. And there's been a fairly thorough study of them, and they get their resource costs down to 5 to 10% of the US national average. And, of course, there is also evidence from studies showing that people in these settlements report a higher quality of life than the average. And that's a matter of substituting relatively low material pursuits and interests, hobbies and so on, gardening, local sources of leisure, for the resource-intensive sources that we have in consumer society. So there's firstly the establishment and development of these movements is a terrific initiative that's underway. And one of the things that we're hoping people will get into is joining and setting up such initiatives within their suburbs of our existing towns. And there are transition towns movements and eco-villages in Australia. But I think right now in these early stages, an even more important thing to do is just to talk and nag and carry on and raise these issues as much as we can in everyday conversation, because the problem is one of ideology and worldview. And most people, A, don't understand the degree of unsustainability, and B, don't understand that there are terrific alternatives. And we just have to get more and more people to become acquainted with that discussion. And the best way to contribute to that is to raise the issues whenever you can.
Well, look, it is a fascinating one. I think we could explore even further. But, Ted, really do appreciate you joining us this morning and, presenting this alternative.
Thanks. Get everyone to Google Simplicity Institute or my site, thesimplerway.info.
Thesimplerway.info. We'll try and stick a link up to that one on the podcast. Ted, thanks very much. You have a great day.
Thank you. Bye for now.